But we're going to walk through them as they were given. So the oldest was the one we just finished, which is the book of Joel. And the second oldest is Amos. And then after that, we'll do the book of Jonah. So a lot of learning from these amazing books. As far as notices, Wednesday night 7, John chapter 8, My Disciples is the title. Of course, the rest home's on Saturday. We need a third junior church team. Please keep in mind the Tito clipboard. And tonight is the deadline for turning in your AGM nominations. So please do those if you're planned to. And then Sunday night, the nominating committee will meet next week. And then the week after, we'll have the AGM. It'll be short this year. Don't have any big business to discuss. So we'll basically just be the election and the approval of the financial statement. But, you know, what God was really good over the lockdown is the giving stayed firm. And that's exciting, isn't it? That the giving stayed solid during the 8 weeks that we didn't have church. And I just thank the Lord for that. But tonight here in Amos, a new book. Amos was kind of a unique prophet in that he was just a herdman, as we'll see as we walk through the book, just a shepherd. And God called him to prophesy to the northern part of the divided kingdom. Remember, the kingdom was divided for ages after Solomon. And the northern kingdom was Israel. The southern kingdom was referred to as Judah. So the northern kingdom was the one that went into captivity first. And then about 100 years later, the southern kingdom of Judah went into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, because the northern kingdom had delved deeper into sin more than Judah had. And so they got punished earlier and longer. But he wrote his book around 760 B.C., so about 100 years after Hosea. And the book is primarily about judgment, sadly. We're going to see a lot of that in the Minor Prophets. The upcoming judgment of not only Israel, but the surrounding nations around Israel. And then God gave him some visions of the future here at the end of the book. The key verse would probably be chapter 3, verse 3, if you want to turn there. Most of us might not have it memorized, but we've heard it before. Can two walk together except they be agreed? God here is specifically referring to himself and his children. Can two walk together except they be agreed? But it's a true statement, is it not? And it fits all aspects of life. And of course, we'll get there when we get to chapter 3. So we'll start here in chapter 1 and learn from Amos tonight. So the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Just stop there for a second. This is how the minor prophets get dated, is when they put these sorts of things at the beginning of their book. We know which kings that they prophesied under, and that we can quickly then pinpoint when they gave the prophecies. Verse 2, and he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Haziel, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Avon, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden. And the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof. And I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon. And I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up whole captivity to Edom, and remembered not the brotherly covenant. But I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they've ripped up the women with children, with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour the palaces thereof, with shouting in the day of battle, and with a tempest in the day of the whirlwind. And their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kerioth, and Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting, and with the sound of the trumpet. And I will cut off the judge from the midst thereof, and I will slay all the princes thereof with him, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord, and have not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. We're going to stop there tonight. And the title is, They Have Despised the Law. Dear Lord, we commit tonight to you. We pray you'll teach us from Amos. Teach us things that would help us better understand you and your word and your people. And Lord, your will for us. And so thank you for this privilege. May you be glorified in it. Guide us in your truth. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as we can see, he took the whole first chapter to pronounce judgment upon the nations that surrounded Israel. Nations that he often used to punish Israel. Now he's saying, and now they will be punished for how they treated Israel. Same thing's going to happen in the tribulation period. Same thing happened to Nebuchadnezzar. God uses heathen often to chastise his people, but then he punishes the heathen for chastising his people. It's how God works. And this is the case with these many nations. So notice where God is roaring from in verse 2. He says, from Zion. Zion is another name for God's dwelling place in heaven. I think one of the songs that we sing talks about Zion. I think it's Psalm, that 48 song. We might have sung it this morning. But notice he says, and he will utter his voice from Jerusalem. Now, there is a heavenly Jerusalem. We read about it in Revelation 21. Remember, after or during the kingdom, we're not sure timing-wise, there's going to be this city that's going to come down from heaven, and God calls it the heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly city. And it will be suspended above the earth. And so God is saying here that he's roaring, he's angry, and he's roaring from his dwelling place in heaven. And then in this first chapter, in the beginning of the second chapter, he's pronouncing judgment on Damascus, Gaza, Tyrus, Ammon, and Moab. All these heathen nations, God says, I'm going to punish them for their sin and for how they treated his children. Now, one thing he mentions is very interesting there in verse 8. He says, and at the end of the verse, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish. Raise your hand if you've ever met a Philistine. Raise your hand if you've ever met a Jew. Interesting, huh? There are no more Philistines. That's because this prophecy and many others in the Old Testament said there would come a time when God would eliminate the Philistines, and they're gone. But they played a huge part in Israel's history, did they not? And yet God said, I'm going to get rid of even the remnant of them. There will be no more Philistines. And sure enough, there are no more Philistines. When he's rebuking Tyrus there in verse 5, he says, Tyrus remembered not the brotherly covenant in verse 9. So in the flesh, he's saying that you're still brothers of Israel and you didn't remember the covenant. You mistreated them. And therefore, God will punish them. Ammon, verse 13, got punished for their greed. Notice at the end of verse 13 that they might enlarge their border. For them, it was all about gaining more land. It was all about power and influence. But as he finishes all of these, then he talks about his own children. And that's where we start tonight in verse 4 of chapter 2. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four. And God's going to list those transgressions for us tonight. But what led to those transgressions? He's given us the answer in verse 4. Because they have despised the law of the Lord. Now, I don't think a Christian ever gets to the point where they say, I hate the Bible. But, just like we learned at family camp, love is action and hate is action, is it not? And so, how we treat someone is love or hate, like we learned from Scripture. It's the same with His Word. How we treat His Word, you know, David said, oh, how love I thy law. It was my meditation all the day in Psalm 119:97. How do we reveal our love for God's Word? Not by saying, I love the Word, but by being in it. It's one thing to say, I love this book. It's another thing to open it. Amen? And so what he's saying is that Israel had stopped listening to, stopped applying the Word of God to their lives, which is the equivalent of despising it. Now, let's go to Leviticus 26 and see that God warned them specifically about this. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 15. Knowing, because He is God, exactly what would happen. Look what He says, Leviticus 26, 15. And if ye shall despise My statutes. Now, this is Moses writing to Israel, God writing to Israel through Moses prior to going into the promised land. So they haven't even gone to the promised land yet. And God says, if you shall despise My statutes, or if your soul shall abhor My judgments, so that you will not do all My commandments, but that you break My covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. It came down to the Word. I gave you the Word through Moses. Moses is writing this and saying, if there comes a time when you despise My Word, or as he says there, if you abhor My judgments, how do we despise His Word? How do we abhor His judgments? As he says in the next phrase, so that you will not do My commandments. So essentially, when we say, here's what the Bible says, I'm going to disobey it, through our actions, what are we saying? That we actually hate the commandments because we're choosing to reject them. And that's a dangerous place to be. Let's look at another verse, Proverbs 28:9. And we'll see that this is all through the Scriptures. Proverbs chapter 28:9, despising the law of the Lord. Notice Proverbs 28:9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. So God says it will even affect our prayer life if we turn ourselves away from hearing what God says to us through His Word, from obeying His commandments. Let's look at another one, Isaiah 5:24, and then we'll go to the New Testament. But I want you to see this is a theme all throughout Scripture, that how we treat the Word of God reveals whether we love it or whether we despise it. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as a dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the Word of God. Of the Holy One of Israel. God says, I'm going to punish My children. Why? Because they've cast away the law. Let's see if it's in the New Testament. Go to John chapter 12, verse 48. Jesus here speaking to the crowds. And look what He says about His Word. John 12, 48. He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words, Hath one that judgeth him the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus is saying that when we receive not his words, we are rejecting him. And then from the last days, go to 2 Timothy 4:3. God said this will be indicative of the last days which we find ourselves in. Second Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So let's go back to our passage, Amos chapter 2, verse 4. And so what is God saying? He says there in verse 4, I will punish Judah. Why? Because they've despised the law of the Lord. And what he gives us now is a progression. And what happens when we treat the word as if we don't love it? Notice the progression. So look at the end of verse 4. And have not kept his commandments. So it's disobedience. Disobedience in God's program is the same as despising his word. That when we say, or when we choose to disobey his word, we are saying, I don't love his word. Remember when Samuel was caught out for disobedience, what did God say? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. He says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 and 23. God equated rebellion to witchcraft. We get to the New Testament, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's one of the reasons why we're studying his commandments in the Sunday school class. We need to make sure we know what they are, because he expects us to keep them as a way of saying, I love you. James says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So they've not kept his commandments. Then secondly, look what it says, verse 4, and their lies cause them to err. I don't think that's how you say that word here, is it? But anyway, I'll say it the American way. Err. I think you guys say it differently. But what happens when we're not in the word, when we choose to despise his word, as they did there in verse 4, disobedience leads to what? Being led astray by lies. And this happened to Israel for centuries. Let's look at some examples. Go to Isaiah 5:20. Remember, we in Wednesday night, we looked recently in John 7 where Jesus said, if we will obey, we will know the truth. Which is kind of backwards of how the world would say it. The world would say, well, first we need to know it and then we'll obey it. Jesus said, no, first you obey it and then I'll teach you more. But the opposite is true. If we're disobeying the word, that means we're grieving the Holy Spirit, which means we are not learning the word, because the Holy Spirit's the one that teaches us the word. So what happens is when we choose to disobey, the next step here is being led into error by the devil, of course. Isaiah 5:20, look what it says. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Israel. But it sounds like today, doesn't it? I mean, you could take this verse and say, yeah, that's the way things are in our society now. People take things that are evil and call them good, and they take things that are good and call them evil. Take things that are sweet and call them bitter, and vice versa. And we see it all around us. That's what happens when we choose not to listen to and therefore not obey the word of God. It leads to error. Another verse, Jeremiah 8:9. And then we'll look at a New Testament verse. So Jeremiah chapter 8, look at verse 9. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken low. They have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? Because they've chosen to reject the word of the Lord, they have no wisdom. And if they have no wisdom, they're going to be led astray. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 now, verse 14. We'll look at a New Testament equivalent of this truth. And so what God is trying to say to his children through Amos, he's saying, I'm going to punish you ultimately for what? Disobedience. But your disobedience is being displayed or is equivalent of despising his word, if you will. And if we choose to disobey his word, what does that lead to but being led astray? Ephesians 4:14. Look at Paul's warning here. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let me tell you, the devil's followers are lying in wait to deceive. And the more and more, the closer we get to the end times, and the deeper we get into the end times, it's just only going to get worse. And if you want to be led astray, it's easy, especially with the internet, huh? From a doctrinal point of view. But this is what happens. This is where the path leads. Once we say, these are the commandments, I'm not going to obey, what's the next step but error, being led into error. And what happens then? Back to our passage, Amos chapter 2, verse 4. So verse 4, he starts saying, I'm going to punish you because you've despised my word. What are the symptoms of despising his word? Number one, disobedience. They've not kept his commandments. Number two, being led into error. But look at number three, after the which their fathers have walked. So not only being led into error, but then walking the wrong path. And if we've been saved a while, we all know Christians who aren't walking in the steps of Jesus. They're walking the wrong path. They're walking in the wrong direction. That's because somewhere along the way, they decided, I'm going to stop obeying God's word. I'm going to stop loving God's word. And they got led astray by the devil. He's always ready to do that for people who aren't in the word. And it ends up affecting our walk. Let's go to Jeremiah 9:14. Look at an Old Testament example in Israel. But this is the progression that God warned of through Amos. And, of course, it culminated in their captivity and their dispersion, which still isn't over. Jeremiah 9:14, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Did you notice it said there in verse 4 of a passage, their fathers have walked? It gets passed on to the next generation. Starts with the disobedience, then gets led astray, and then it gets passed on to the next generation. So then you end up with multiple generations led astray, doctrinally deceived, and we see it all around us, don't we? People that aren't grounded in the Word and aren't walking for the Lord. The final result, Amos 2:5, but I will send a fire. Ultimately, when we choose to disobey God's word, which is a outward display of not loving his word, it leads to error. It leads to walking the wrong path, passing that on to the next generation. Go to Deuteronomy 31, if you would, where God warned that this would happen. But the ultimate end is, as he warned, verse 4, he talks about punishment. Here in verse 5, he says, I will send a fire. Notice Deuteronomy 31:16. Again, writing to Moses, before going into the promised land, God specifically said, Israel, be careful of this. And then they went and did that exact thing. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after other gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant which I've made with them, then mine anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they have wrought, and that they are turned unto other gods. How, what a sad prophecy. What a sad commentary. And then go to Proverbs 3 and verse 11. So when we face chastisement because we've chosen to stop loving the word, and it leads to disobedience, and it leads to error, and it leads to walking the wrong path, God, if we're his child, will deal with us. Guaranteed. Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. And we see the same thing in Hebrews chapter 12. When that happens, that can go two ways, can't it? When God gets out his stick and says, that's it. I'm not going to be patient anymore. You've disobeyed. You've not been listening. You've gone down the wrong path. You're going down in the way of error. He's going to chastise us. At that moment, it can go one of two ways. We can, like David, when he got chastised, we can fall on our face and say, I was wrong. And we can repent and we can come back to the Lord, which he did. And we can read all that in Psalm 51, what happened in David's heart. Or we can get angry at God and it just gets worse. And then he just pulls out a bigger stick next time. And eventually the stick is so big, he just says, got to take him to heaven. And that happens sometimes. Can't let him ruin my testimony any longer. They won't listen. Rebellious. And Israel, because God had made unconditional promises to them, though they have been under basically chastisement for 2.5 millennia, we've read all the promises of what will eventually be given to them. They'll be given a new heart. They'll be given a kingdom. But until that day, they're in chastisement. But they picture a Christian as well. We've been given promises too. If we're born again, we're going to heaven. But if we choose to continually ignore the word and not love the word and disobey the word, God's going to continually deal with us through chastisement. The promise is still there. We're still going to heaven. But we're going to have a miserable Christian life. And eventually God may just have to take us home. Hopefully not. But the key is to listen. The Holy Spirit says, you're not loving my word like you should. And that's evidenced by how you're treating it. By you're not in it. You're not obeying it. And you're going to be led astray. Listen. Unlike Israel, who didn't. And God promised them, as he says here, they've despised the law. Therefore, I will send a fire upon Judah. And he did. Multiple times. But it all came down to their attitude toward this amazing book. And what attitude does God want us to have toward his word? Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. John 15:8, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this.